things are crazy at my house. And I run a grandchildren bed and breakfast now. You don't understand that. Anyway, I was thinking about our lesson this morning. What could I teach in Sunday school? And my mind went back to our study, the spiritual disciplines for the Christian life. I want to pull out a lesson that's for the last 2 weeks, and it's a repeat, but you, if you're like me, you don't remember, and remedial is good, right? Yes. And so this comes as a challenge this morning to us to put God's Word on a pedestal in our life. Because I want you to just to breathe in with me this morning. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to breathe in. One, two, three. And breathe out. In order to live physically, you have to breathe in and breathe out. And you do it automatically. In order to grow spiritually, you've got to have, just like you have to have oxygen intake, in order to grow spiritually, you have to have Bible intake in your life. And I want to suggest to you this morning that the most important decision you can make for 2025 is to be a woman of God's book. Breathe deeply in God's book. And so I want to bring this lesson to you this morning just to kind of as a way of a refresher, as a challenge, to give you something to motivate us this morning in our life. I love New Year. I love new beginnings. I love how fresh it is. And the challenge of a new year lying before us, what does it hold? We don't know. But there are choices we can make as Christian women that will definitely bring impact into our life. And one of the biggest choices we can make is putting God's Word in our heart. So let's open with a word of prayer. We have several guests this morning. We're so happy that you've come, and I pray that you will be encouraged as you study the Bible with us together. I want to thank you for being here. I want to challenge you to come to Sunday school in 2025. It's just another wonderful way to breathe in God's Word and have Bible intake. Let's pray together as we start. Our Father, we bless your name this morning. Thank you for life. Thank you for giving us all that you've given us. But the most precious item we hold is your holy word. It is living, it is active, it is powerful, and when we place it into our lives, it makes a difference, it brings life, it corrects us, it gives us direction. Everything and anything we need for life is contained in your holy word. And I pray for the year that lies before us, that we will be women who take in your word, that we'll do it daily, that we'll do it intentionally, that we'll do it in a dedicated way, that we'll hunger and we'll pant after your word. Thank you for the hunger you place in our hearts when we are born again. Your spirit just moves in. It creates within us a desire to be women of your word. And I pray, God, that you will help us living in 2025 to make the most of our time and to make time, in fact, to give it preeminence in our life, to study, to know, to read, to memorize, to meditate on, to live out your word. And we pray now that you'll speak to us through our lesson this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The verse that we base the study of spiritual disciplines on is right there on your handout. Let's start by refreshing our memories. It's a verse we memorized out of 1 Timothy 4:7. And, you know, Paul was the spiritual father to his son Timothy. And Timothy was actually going to take up the mantle of his ministry because Paul was old. Paul knew he was about to depart. And he's putting everything he can into his young son Timothy. It was his spiritual son, not his real son. But this is what he says, Timothy, you need to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And, you know, the Christian life is all about us becoming like Christ. When I first got saved, I had a long, long way to go to be like Jesus. But what happened that night was the Holy Spirit moved into my life, and he started putting my life in order. I was at the very beginning of the Christian race. There was a long run ahead. But he moved right in. He set up housekeeping in my heart. He started putting things in order. That was over 50 years ago. And I was so excited when I was saved. I had so much to learn because I did not have a very solid, spiritual, good foundation. But the Holy Spirit got right to work. And one of the first things I recognized after I was born again was that I had a hunger to grow. I really did. I had this desire in my heart to grow. And I had a desire to be like Jesus. And I really needed the Bible. And I began to study the Bible. The things that we're going to cover this morning, I think, are just very elementary. They're very basic, but I think that they're going to give us a good word of encouragement this morning. Because the truth is, we all really want to be like Jesus, don't we? Don't you? We want to look more like him in our words, in our actions, in our thinking, in the way we speak. And so Paul is telling his young son in the faith how it is that he can be more like Jesus, more godlike. And let's just say that verse together. Read it with me. Discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. Why do I want to do it? I want to do it for one purpose. I want to be godly. I want to be godlike. I want when you rub up against me, God comes out. And you say, oh, Teresa really is so much like Jesus. That's what I want you to see. Now, look at that quote on your handout. Because am I going to discipline myself to be in the word, it's not for any other purpose other than I want to be godlike. But look at that quote, discipline without direction is drudgery. We don't want to develop disciplines just so that I can become good at something. The discipline for godliness is not an end in itself. It's a mean. I'm going to discipline myself because I have a purpose. I have a direction. That discipline in God's word is going to take me somewhere, and that somewhere is to be more like Jesus and to be more godlike. I love where over the years, I've been a serious student of God's word now for 50 years, over 50 years, and I love where that discipline has brought me. I look back, I'm not disappointed for the time I've spent in God's word. And so this morning we're going to look at this one discipline. There are many disciplines we looked at, but this one is the main one. This is the one we have to get right. And so let's write it down. We're going to take our first discipline, and it's Bible intake. Bible intake. Now, this is the most important discipline for us to develop. So write that down. It's the most important discipline. And then write this down. There's absolutely no substitute for it. There's no substitute for us, because I think it's obvious that there will be simply no healthy Christian growth apart from a steady diet of the milk and the meat of God's Word. Because, why? Let's write down some more things. I'm going to give them fast. Bible study is where we learn about and hear God speak. The Word is God speaking to us. Write this down. It's where we learn about Jesus as the incarnation of God. The incarnation of God. That just means He is God. All right, the next one. It is where we hear the saving gospel and what actually is involved in becoming right with God. Another one, it's where we learn the ways, not only the ways, but the will of God. It's also this, it's where we learn how God wants us to live. It's where we find what brings the most joy and satisfaction in life. And it's the discipline that's going to bring the most transformation to our lives. Now, it's the only place that you can go to that contains this eternal, essential information. So, if we're to know God and if we're to be godly, you and I are going to have to be acquainted with and know intimately the Word of God. But the sad truth is many professing Christians know little about the Bible. In fact, there may be poor Christians who live in very remote parts of the world who don't even possess a Bible that know more than some of us who have so much access to God's Word. And since it's the most important discipline, I'm not going to finish this lesson today, because you know what that means. What? You've got to come back next week. That's right. So it's the most important discipline for a Christian. It's also the most broad discipline. And it actually consists of several sub-disciplines that I want us to look at. There are actually 5 of them. Hope I can cover 3 today and 2 next week. Let's go to the first one. The first one involves this, hearing God's Word. Hearing God's Word. Now, that's the easiest way for you and I to take the Bible in, to just simply discipline ourselves to hear the Word of God. And for most of us, this means that you and I develop the habit of faithfully attending a Bible teaching, believing church. Now, let's let Jesus talk. Let's get His perspective. Go on your handout to Luke 11, and let's look at verse 28. He says this, "Blessed rather are those who hear the Word of God and keep it." So what's the purpose of hearing the Word of God? We don't want to just hear it, let it go in one ear and out the other. What do we want to do? We want to hear it and we want to
keep it.
That's right. We want to do what we hear out of God's Word. So we're going to discipline ourselves for the purpose of being like Christ by hearing the Word of God. Now let's go back and listen to another instruction Paul gave to Timothy, his young son in the faith. Go on your handout to verse 13 of 1 Timothy 4. He says, "Now, look, Timothy, until I'm able to come and be with you, here's what I want you to do. I want you to devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching." I want you to circle that word, devote. I like that word. In other words, Paul is saying this to Timothy. Timothy, I want you to be devoted to the Word of God. Are you devoted to the Word of God? What are you devoted to in your life? I want you to devote yourself to hearing it, to teaching it, to exhorting and use it. In other words, look on your handout. The Word of God is to be the very centerpiece of your life. You and I have so many avenues to hear the Word of God in our generation. I posted on our Oasis app this last week, I don't know if you saw it, the link to go to the Cross Conference that our teenagers went to. And I've listened to most of the talks already. They are powerful. They are dynamite. If you don't have, not on, if you're not on Facebook, just text me and I'll send it to you, the link. But you can open up and hear all the main sessions. They had panels, they had breakout sessions, and they're just making it free to anybody. You can just listen to them. And they're so encouraging. We just have so much available to us where you and I can hear the word. You're driving in your car all the time. If you're alone, it's a wonderful way to listen to God's word. So as we're dressing, we can listen. As we're cooking, as we're cleaning, whatever we're doing, there's Christian music out there that encourages our hearts. There's so much. I mean, we are actually in overload in content that's available to us. Then we have Sunday school. I take our time in Sunday school very seriously. And my heart for us in Sunday school is that we go deeply into the Word of God. That's why I don't really have, and I hate it, we don't have time for a lot of interaction in Sunday school. Because we take our time for it to be taught. It's literally an opportunity for us to come, hear God's Word, and grow. But it requires discipline. It requires you to come. It requires you to give it priority. It's something that you have to cultivate in your life. Come 6 weeks in a row, and it will be a habit with you. Anything you do 6 weeks straight becomes a habit. And as you're bringing your heart to the living word of the living God, as you're hearing it, as you're doing Bible intake, you're breathing it in, it has the power to transform you, to make you like God. Because God's word is powerful. Here's just a thought that I want to add. When you get up on Sunday morning, before you come to church, prepare your heart to come. God, I'm fixing to enter in. I know, Sunday mornings can be crazy and hectic, but just say to God, God, would you give me a word? Would you speak to me this morning? I'm going to bring my life to your word, and I'm going to bring it in to my heart. And I'm going to prepare my heart now in prayer. God, speak to me. Transform me. Take your word. Let it penetrate my heart. Change me. Make me into a woman who is useful to your kingdom. So the first sub-discipline is just basically hearing. Easy. Easy peasy. Anybody can do it. Unless you're severely ADD, it's hard to sit and listen. But most of us are just normal people. Who, not to say ADD makes you not normal, but I better just move to the next one. So here's the second sub-discipline. You hear it and then you read it. Read God's Word. Now, how often during the week, don't answer this out loud, do you actually read God's Word? Now, if you want to be godly, if you want to be more like Jesus, you're going to have to discipline yourself to read God's Word. I think it's a wonderful thing to read through the Bible in a year. I've never been able to do it. I think it took me 2 years, but that's a great plan to do. We're seeing that this is the number one discipline. It takes you bringing the Bible in. So you're going to have to set aside a time to do this. It's actually been recorded, someone just reading the Bible through. And if you just sat down to read the entire Bible, guess how long it would take you? It would take you 71 hours, okay? That means if you will just read the Bible for 15 minutes every day, you could easily read through the Bible in a year. Do you have 15 minutes that you could give to reading your Bible? If you read it just 5 minutes a day, it would take you 3 years. Now stop. How much time do you spend on social media every day? Wonder how much time. Sometimes I get on Facebook and I look up and it's been an hour. I'm like, oh, I'm sitting here an hour. It's easy to do. Do you play Freecell? Do you play Solitaire? Do you play Blockscapes? Let me ask another question. How much time do you spend watching TV? Well, Teresa, why do I want to discipline myself? Remind me why. It's because I want to be godly. Now, ladies, you're not going to be godly apart from the discipline of taking in the Word of God. Why are you doing it, Teresa? I want to take in God's Word. I want to give it time because I want my life to count for the kingdom of God. I want His kingdom to come through me. And I think it's helpful if you cultivate the same time every day, if you can. That's helpful. You can't always do that, especially if you have a lot of children. Now, here's a practical question. A practical suggestion. Find a Bible reading plan. Put that on your handout. Number one was something.
Set aside.
Okay, good. And then find a reading plan. All right, here's some suggestions. Read 3 chapters each day and 5 chapters on Sunday, and you'd go through the Bible in 1 year. It would help if you read in 3 places, beginning in Genesis, Job, and Matthew. These 3 sections of the Bible are about the same in length. And if you started and read maybe a chapter from Genesis, a chapter from Job, a chapter from Matthew, you would find that you would finish those sections about the same time. And that would give you variety. Because reading straight through the Bible can be brutal, because somehow when you get to Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you want to scream. And those are hard places to read. So if you're reading in different places, some in the old, some in the new, it offers a variety. Now, there's one more suggestion to help us. Find at least one word out of what you're reading, one phrase or one verse, and meditate on that. Don't just rush over it. Meditate on it. Spend some time. Dwell on that. Remember why you're doing it. You're doing it to be like God. And so meditation is a very important part of reading through your Bible. Without meditation, Bible reading will not likely change us. I think I put that on your handout. Even if you have a good plan, it can become a chore. And you don't want a chore. You want it to be a discipline of joy. And so meditation means that you're going to take at least one thing you're reading and you're going to think deeply about it for a few moments. And this is going to cause you to have insight into Scripture. I love the story that was written in this book, Spiritual Disciplines. It was a story of a man who had been severely injured in a fire. And his face was badly disfigured. And he lost his eyesight and he lost both of his hands. He was a new Christian and he was so disappointed that he was unable to read God's Word. He had no hands, so he couldn't read with Braille. But you know what? He learned that if he would stick out his tongue, he could read the Braille with his tongue. At the time of the writing of the book that told his story, he had read through the Bible 4 times using his tongue. Now that is a man who was devoted and who disciplined himself for the Word of God. Let's look at another one. Let's write this down. Another subtitle, Studying God's Word. Studying God's Word. Look at this quote by Jerry Bridges. I think I might have put it on your handout. Reading gives us breadth, but study gives us depth. Let's consider three examples this morning of a heart to study the Word of God. I want us to look at Ezra first. Ezra 7, verse 10. For Ezra, it says, had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. Now there's a sequence in this verse, and I want you to write it down with me. First of all, Ezra set his heart. He set his heart. He set his heart next to do what? To study the law of the Lord. To study the law of the Lord. And then after studying it, it says, and to do it. And then he set his heart, he studied, he did it, and the last thing he did was to teach the statutes and rules to all those in Israel. I want you to notice that before he taught it, he practiced it himself. But his learning came from study of Scripture. But before he studied it, he set his heart to do it. That's what I'm wanting you to do this morning. To set your heart, to discipline yourself, to study the Word of God. And then let's look at Paul and Silas out of Acts 17. They had barely escaped with their lives from Thessalonica. The Jews were jealous of their success. They went to Berea, and there the Jews responded differently in Berea than those did in Thessalonica. Look at your handout. Now, those Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica, because they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. Now notice, Paul speaks of their willingness here to examine the scriptures. He speaks of them as having noble character. Let's look at one more example, and it's Paul again out of 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. And here we find Paul is in prison. He's writing the last chapter of his final letter. He's expecting Timothy to come to him in prison. What was on his heart? He was going to write Timothy a letter. What did he say? He says this to Timothy, Timothy, when you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and also the books, and above all, the parchments. You see, the scrolls and the parchments that Paul is requesting here certainly included copies of God's word. Here he is, he's cold, he's miserable, he's in prison, he asks for two things. I need my cloak, I'm cold. And also, I need God's word. I need God's word. I want my body warmed and I want my heart warmed. Here's a man who had seen heaven. We find that out in 2 Corinthians 12. He had actually seen the resurrected Lord in Acts 9. He had experienced the power of the Holy Spirit for miracles. Just check out Acts 14. He had actually written Holy Scripture himself, 13 books of the New Testament. But what I want to point out is this. He's continued to study the Word of God, even to the moments before his death. That's what's important to him. If Paul had such a need, you and I do too. Why don't we? Why don't we? Why? You know why? Because it's work. It just doesn't come naturally. To study the Word of God, to read the Word of God, to meditate on the Word of God, it is going to require discipline. And I'm afraid we sometimes are lazy. Where would we even begin? I mean, starting isn't as difficult as you would imagine, just get a plan, get a pen, get a piece of paper, and sit down and start reading. And write down observations as you read. Record questions that come to your mind. If you've got a study Bible, look up cross-references. John MacArthur has an amazing study Bible. Kay Arthur has an amazing study Bible. Al Mohler has one that I love. You just look up the reference that you see there in the side and start doing some cross-referencing and making some insights in a journal. Find a key word in that passage. Look it up in the dictionary. Go to a concordance. All you have to do is get the concordance app on your phone. Put that word in, and then up comes other scriptures that have that word in it. And you can just do deep dives into God's word. Take it one verse at a time, one chapter at a time, one paragraph at a time. And before you know it, you'll go through a whole new book of the Bible. Now, if your growth in godliness were measured by the quality of your Bible intake, what would the result be? Well, let's consider Jesus' words. Look on your handout, John 17. Now, this chapter is Jesus' high priestly prayer right before he goes to the cross. Listen to what he prayed, speaking about those who were his, and that includes us. Here's what he said. This is what he prayed for you and for me and for his disciples. He says, God, would you sanctify them in truth? Your word is truth. This is God's plan for sanctifying us. It's his word. That word sanctify means set apart, make holy. That's our plan for being a set apart, holy, godly person. It's going to come through God's word. Teresa, I just feel so guilty this morning because I'm challenged by this. I fall short. Well, let's take the message of Philippians 3:13 and let's apply it to our inconsistency this morning. Here's what it says. I'm just going to forget what lies behind and I'm going to strain forward to what lies ahead. I like that. Yeah, I haven't done it like I should. Okay, 2025 is before us. I'm going to forget the past and I'm going to strive and I'm going to lead in to the future. Now, there's one more final question for application this morning. What is one thing you can do to improve your intake of the Word of God? What is one thing this morning? Let's just say it. Well, I can be faithful to Sunday school, faithful to worship, faithful to hearing. I can, you can look up great, just go to YouTube and get pastors that you admire or who are very godly. All their sermons are on there. You can do that. You can get involved in an in-depth Bible study. You can join us on Thursday mornings if you're available. You can come, I think it's next week. We'll start our Sundays at 5. You can start a group on your own with other believers. In closing, I just want to share this. I love Christian biographies. And I think one of the main things you see as you read stories of some of the greatest missionaries who've impacted whole continents with the gospel. Here was the pattern of their life. They were ordinary people. Just like you and me. They came from different backgrounds. Some had godly homes, some did not. But as they were on the field, and God was using them to do incredible things for the Word of God, for the kingdom of God, they got up every morning, and they spent time in personal prayer and reading the Word of God. And then they went on many times, if they were in a group setting or in their home setting, they would have a time of corporate reading the Word of God and prayer. And then in the afternoon, they would have another time of reading the Word of God in prayer. And then at night, many, many nights, they would meet again corporately for the reading of God's Word in prayer. And then before they went to bed, they had a personal time of reading the Word of God in prayer. Do you see what the centerpiece of their life was? What was it?
The Bible.
It was the Bible. Now, why did God take those people and do such amazing things in their lives? Was it because they were so gifted and they were so wonderful? And no, it was because they made God's Word the centerpiece of their life. Now, think of your life. Is the first thing you pick up in the morning your phone? And you scroll through your phone. Then mid-morning, you take a few minutes and you pick up your phone. And you scroll through your phone. And then maybe at lunch, you pick up your phone and you scroll through your phone. And then in the afternoon, you've got a little minute. What do? You pick up your phone and you scroll through your phone. And then what's the last thing you do at night? What do you have in your hand? Well, most likely, it's your phone. Sometimes I look over at Bill and he's asleep with his finger on his phone. I'm like, give me your phone, I'm going to put it up. Ladies, we've got to put the phone down. And we've got to discipline ourselves. And we're going to do it for the purpose of godliness. We're going to do it because we want God to use us. Because we want to be women who are like Jesus. The phone is not going to make you like Jesus. And it's going to take discipline for you to tell your phone no. And these are things you're going to have to teach your children about the phone. You know, I just had bed and breakfast going on for the entire last week with grandchildren. See, I get two, and then they want two more, and then another three or four join in. When you have a ton of grandkids, that's what happens. And they all have phones. And they're all on their phones. And I just told Bill, I said, I'm so glad I'm not a parent right now, trying to deal with phones and your teenagers. It's hard. Ladies, we've got two more things I want to share. I want you to come back next week and let's talk about what we learned today. Three of five ways. Hear the word, right? Study the word. Meditate on the word. Two more. I'm not going to tell you, you're going to have to come back. Let's pray together. Our Father, this year lies before us. And you know, we're going to make choices every day. Those choices are going to have an impact in our lives. And what choices will we make? And our Father, I pray for us. I pray that we would be women of your word. That's right. Women of your word. It's going to take time. It's going to take discipline. But we're going to do it for the purpose of being like your son, Jesus. Because we want to live our lives in such a way that we can point other people to him, that we can make a difference in our world, that we can let our light shine. And so I pray, Father, you bring us back next week. You'll give us minds that think on these things. I pray that we'll lay the phone down and we'll pick the Word of God up, unless we're opening our Bible app. That's our only way to keep the phone in our hand. And we pray these things now, even as we go to worship, that you'll speak to us through Brother Greg this morning, that we'll listen attentively, that we'll be like Ezra. We'll hear the word, and we'll do the word, and we'll share the word with others. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week.